Good afternoon. It's Tuesday, April 12th.
Lord, we ask for your blessing on our meeting, that your spirit would flow, your truth would flow, that we would have ears to receive your truth by your spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Are you going to
if I were still bringing messages, I have a title for one. I heard it on as I was listening this morning. Where are the nine?
Right? You remember the occasion.
Ten lepers were healed.
Yeah.
One, was he a Samaritan, I think?
I was going to mention that when we met last time, when we were talking about the fact that somebody gets healed, it makes it, and I thought, yeah, but that's not always the case. I was thinking of that. Some of them take it for granted and walk away.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a pretty big thing to be healed of. Leprosy.
Yeah. Terrible. Where are the nine?
And I don't know that that's a good ratio to go by or anything. You know, one out of nine or one out of ten or hungry or whatever, but the ratio of that or the percentage is not real high. Few there be that find it. Many are called, but only a few are chosen. And I said something about it, I think, last week, but there's a thing in the church. It's been in me, as well, you know, as well as other people. It's like when I went to the Pentecostal Assembly, you know, when I first came back from Seattle. And there was always a lot of emphasis on what we got. This last year we baptized 100 people or whatever, you know, and I always thought, where are they? You know, I've been here for quite a while, and we got maybe three or four more different people, but where are the bunch of that we got baptized? And that wasn't just them. We've had the same type of a thing, but there's such an emphasis on humanity, on us, on people, to look at numbers, and we've had our numbers. We had deliverers, and we had people from all over the country coming, and some of them came from a long ways away just to come to church. But where are they? You know, of course, some of them are older, so. Dr. Scott, he was a sweetheart.
It is remarkable, though, that 9 out of 10 people heal with leprosy, and they just go about their way.
Yeah, that's what I thought about that when I heard it, when it dawned on me. That's a pretty large percentage for the disease.
Yeah.
You know, you'd think that just about every one of them, or if not every one, would make some kind of a comment or say something.
Yeah.
But
I wonder if it came back down the road.
Pardon?
I wonder if the disease came back down the road.
I wonder.
You know, I'm not so sure. After we prayed with Jerome and God healed him, and he was also praying for people. And there was a girl named Petra Rosner. And she's married now, so I don't know what her last name is now, but she was younger than me. And her former boyfriend, and his name was Jeff, that's all I know. I don't know, I couldn't tell you who he was or what he looked like. And he said, one day he says, would you be able to go over and pray with my former girlfriend? And Petra. And I said, sure. So he called her up and we went over and he knocked, he didn't even knock on their door. He just opened the door and went inside. And I thought, that's funny, you know. And, but he had called her, and we got in there, and there was a bell at the door so that she knew somebody was inside. And he told her, Peter, I says, it's him. And so we sat on the couch, you know. We were both sitting on the couch. And all of a sudden, down the hall comes this girl on her hands and knees. Because she'd been crippled by somebody in a mental ward. And she was, he picked her up, he threw her against the wall and injured her back. And she'd had a number of hospital or, you know, visits and stuff, and she had a major problem. And she came over and she was looking up, you know, on her hands and knees, looking up at us, and never seen her before. And so we talked to her a little bit, and I said, Peter, we've seen God heal a number of people, and we're going to pray for you. And we prayed for her, and the next thing we know, she just kind of did a funny move, and she stood up on her feet. And kind of dumbfounded her and Jim, you know. And she was healed. And she was on heavy medication. And what happened, and I don't know if there's anything to this, I really don't know. But she figured, well, what if this comes back? So she continued to take her medication. It did come back.
Mm.
It wasn't anything like it was, but it did come back. So, was that some form of unbelief or what? I mean, she was healed. She was healed, you know, the last time I saw her, she was still healed. But she suffered a little bit from the thing, you know. It was all gone for a while. And her mother was her dad had passed away, or I don't know what happened, but her mother owned about two or three sports shops in Michigan. And she sold them and moved out to Seattle because of what she saw in with Petra.
Mm.
And she had a big Cadillac, and when she'd come out, she had to do it every year or every other year. And when she came out to Seattle, she asked me to drive it because I kind of knew my way around. And it gave room for Joanne and I in the front seat and all the six kids in the back seat. It's a big, yeah, big Cadillac. But anyway, one day she said, a very, very pretty girl, a woman. She said, and she was crying. And she said, I have a problem. And she always wore long sleeves in her blouses. And she rolled up her sleeve, and her arm was fat, all the way down to the elbow. And she says, the sweat glands, or the whatever they are, that's in her arm, they didn't work in that left arm. And so she says, would you pray with me? So we did. And of course, nothing happened. And she went simple as and where she went. And early in the morning, she called up Joanne. And she was crying. She said, my arm is normal. God healed it. And so, Lisa.
Who knows what goes on with people? Just because they aren't in fellowship in church doesn't necessarily reflect too much what their relationship with the Lord is.
That's true.
Yeah. But maybe if you have a real strong, true encounter with the Lord, you could find church pretty phony baloney, depending on the church you go to. Mm-hmm. You could find it, hey, this is nothing like what I got going on with him. This is not the place for me. You know? I get that.
I do too.
I don't know. It's... You know, you go to church and...
Church attendance is not the answer. The relationship with the Lord is the answer.
Yep. Sunday morning Christians.
Yeah.
I'm going to take him with me, so text me when you're leaving.
Okay.
Okay. Bye, Bubba. Bye.
See ya.
See you, Charles.
Adios.
Adios.
Okay.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of those Sunday morning Christians. I don't get to call them out or anything, but I think like that, like what we said, is that's basically you trying to take his glory. Look, I'm here. I do this and. It really is a 24/7 thing in every single decision you make.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And maybe you can hardly blame them if they go to a service where things are, it's full of unbelief and and show and whatever. If that's what they think church is, then it's easy. You know, you go along with the crowd. I'm supposed to be a phony baloney, show my piety on my sleeve, huh? Okay, I guess I can do that. I personally feel so fortunate to be where I am.
The reason you don't want to call them a phony baloney because there's actions I do on a daily basis that they could call me that, too.
Yeah, that's right. Well, me too. Me too. And, as Corky says, it's a work in progress. You know. But, still, there's a difference between being satisfied and not satisfied. I don't know.
It's got to be hard for people who have gotten enough of the revelation that, you know, I've been here and we hear the same sermon message every December 24th and the same sermon message on Easter Sunday. I mean, nothing changes after 25 years and it's the same spot. And there's no life in that. And so... You know, they get a little bit of the spirit that says, you know, there's more to God than what you're getting, you know, and it's when you get that revelation that maybe you're not being fed enough here. But I think there's a lot of people that are condition that, hey, I did what I'm supposed to do according to what people said I'm supposed to do. So check that box. And
Nothing like a church to destroy Christianity. Especially when you look at what's going on in the world today, and I don't want to go into it, but I'm thinking, I feel so sorry for some of these younger people. Mm-hmm. But then on the other hand, I think they're getting just exactly what they want to get.
Well, I suppose you do get what you, I mean, if you don't know any better.
Yeah, but in this day and age, it's there's so much stuff out there right now that, you know, it's not like when we were kids, you know. You just had the radio and whatever you and your parents talked about, and that was, and, you know, in the pastor, and that was it. Nowadays, everything's out there. There's, you know, there's nothing secret anymore.
The enemy has all of his, you know, man-made marvels at his disposal. It's literally.
I think that's right.
From every corner. Mm-hmm. He's actually got even more power today, which is prophesied that's going to happen.
Yes.
And that's the time we're in.
Well, I think it's, before, the truth is hard to find. Now, the truth is hard to find in a sea of noise or distruth. You know, it's often thought about back in the day when the shepherds are laying out and looking at the stars, you know, and they don't got light. I mean, the sun's down. They're not, they don't have kerosene lamps, and that's why they got really good at stars, and there was no light from anywhere else, so the heavens were really vivid compared to what we see today, and they're, you know, and so they, in a way, they had nothing to do but to talk about and talk over what the scrolls would have told them. You know, they weren't distracted by as many things, so it's, you know, it's kind of interesting how, yeah, we have this available, we can have Wonder Bibles going, da-da-da-da. And, oh, by the way, here's the other billion things you could do with your time instead of, like, oh, we can lay here watching the sheep and look at stars tonight because we don't have electricity. We don't have artificial light. I mean, you know, so some ways it was harder, some ways it was easier.
And I, with the younger people today, with the lifestyle they indulge in, I was guilty of that. And when you get so far away from what you're taught and the truth, I don't like saying this, but you get so detached that you actually enjoy that sin.
Yeah.
You actually feel, I mean, for the time being. For some reason, he's never turned his back on me and always made me.
Well, it's like anything. If you enjoy it, you're going to do it.
Yep.
You know, I mean, where do you draw the line?
Some of the enjoyment seems because you know you shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Right. Well,
work free.
Yeah.
Forbidden fruit.
All right.
Yep.
In the, we only have one format anywhere in the scriptures as far as church services, and that's in 1 Corinthians 14. And it says, you know, how is it, brethren, when you come together? And we know we're talking about church. And one has this, one has that, one has that, you know. And so, as you think about it, you think, well, okay, so that's a format. What does it accomplish? And I tell you what has been happening to us recently is a major, major, major thing. If we confess our faults to one another and pray for one another, it says that we'll be healed. You know, you'll be healed. And but also, when you confess faults and you're openly doing it and you're repenting and you're in, and that has been happening in our church, it is having an effect on anybody coming. And anybody that comes will be affected by what they're hearing. So that's some of the best. Wiedehauer says that if anything be revealed to another that sits by, let the first hold his peace, that you all may learn. I have learned a lot from you guys. And there was a time when I was supposedly or thinking I was a sole source of information. That wasn't true. It doesn't work that way. God didn't set it up that way. He set it up so that we got lots of ministers. We got the voice of the prophets. And a prophet is not anything like what we thought it was. I looked at the prophet as somebody that was foretelling the future, or and I've been around people that call themselves prophets, and there's a fellow that just passed away a couple weeks ago. His name is Gordy Steinhauer, and him and I used to be good friends, and he was down the Pentecostal Assembly, and we were at a meeting one time, and somebody supposedly a prophet had prophesied to him and said that, you know, he knew Gordy was involved in moving heavy equipment, you know, and using a lot of it. He said, "You're going to be in an accident and get seriously hurt." Well, it never happened. You know, it was not a real prophecy. It was, and I asked Gordy, I said, "Are you concerned?" He says, "I've heard a lot of them like that. You know, that was a false prophecy." But according to the 1 Corinthians 14, a prophet, what does he do? He brings exhortation, comfort. What's the other thing? A prophet brings, he that prophesies,
where are you at? 1 Corinthians what?
Pardon me?
What?
14.
Yeah. Prophecy is first.
A lot of people just ignore that the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, one of the most vital chapters we have.
Edification, exhortation, and comfort?
Yeah, okay.
Well,
edification, exhortation.
Well, that's the New King James.
Yeah. There's nothing in there that suggests foretelling the future, or, you know what I mean?
Well, King James reads 26, 14, 1, 1 Corinthians 14, 26. "Albeit then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you have a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying." So,
yeah, well,
revelation may be, some might view a revelation as a foretelling. And I don't know how it's written in other...
Well, where I was reading, that's way back in 14.3.
Oh, I was reading 14.
Yeah.
Okay,
14.3. I happened to see it. I thought that's what he was alluding to.
But once we get the revelation of the scriptures and how vital the scriptures are, then what we say is going to be impacting to whoever visits. You know, yeah, are you following me? Mm-hmm. They're gonna see that this is having an impact on us. And I have been really struck with some of the things I've heard. And
verse 29, we've been living by that a lot. "Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the others judge." And if they're all judging by the scriptures,
yeah,
then, you know, you're continuing to put it on the cornerstone.
think I get it. Is it saying you can, prophecy can come through you without being a prophet? Is that what? I'm not following. Is it saying that prophecy can come through you without being a prophet?
Well, I think we're dithering on what the definition of a prophet is.
Okay.
A lot of people tend to view a prophet as a person who is going to foretell the future.
Okay.
And we're seeing the more discerned answer is the prophet who just speaks the truth.
Okay.
Of God.
That's what I was taught.
Charlie is sharing something and he gets a revelation, a deeper understanding, and he's sharing it with us. And at that point, he's being a prophet because he's sharing the word of God. But it goes on to say that and we use Charlie as an example because if Charlie says something, but it doesn't sit well with others, then we can judge and say, I'm not sure you have a full revelation.
Okay.
If I was saying it, they would come back and say, Corky, you're just flat out wrong, brother. But that's okay. I need that woodshed approach. But to your point, I think...
I don't know if it works that way, Corky, but...
Still a work in progress, brother.
Yeah.
but that's the way... I'm open, maybe you guys feel differently, but that's all. I'm interpreting the use of prophet here.
Okay.
It does say in 31, for you can all prophesy one by one.
I'm just reading that too.
Yeah, that all may learn and all may be encouraged.
Yeah.
Well, and I know where my Bible is. I should have my sword and I don't even know where it is.
Yep, you're in big trouble.
Well, this was kind of a surprise. Kind of a surprise meeting, Keith. You didn't know this was going to happen today. So, this is usually where they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now there's seven of them. Which one do you want?
Let me see. Is a print big enough to read?
I think this one got the tabs in.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's a good
big print.
The scripture. I think it's that right at the start, 1 Corinthians 14. It's in the New Testament, isn't it?
So, it is in my Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah. The prophecy in
my
mind.
Translation is, brother. Well, Keith's looking for that, though. The way that reads, Josh, is you can be a prophet.
Okay. I would never claim that, though.
Well, there's a difference between saying you're a prophet and saying God using you as a prophet.
Okay.
I mean, you can be reading scripture and you can get revelation and have a deeper understanding. And
I already have today when I was reading this morning.
But I bring that up because we're so quick to... this is the revelation that we too can have the fullness of God. And we too can be like Jesus. And if you think about that too long in the natural, you just blow that away and you go, no, I can't.
Yeah.
I am not good enough. And yet, Scripture says it's possible. So
my natural self says, I don't want to. It's demanded, though. My natural self looks at that to be like Jesus. No.
It's a pretty high bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I want to, that's my natural though. But yet there are times when I want to take revenge, justice, and vengeance, and he says no. He speaks to me directly, like in my spirit, for some reason. I don't know if you guys ever get that, but I just literally hear no. Let it go.
Yeah.
But
First Corinthians 14, the first bit, verse, it says, follow after love, charity, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you prophesy. Yeah. And So then it uses as a reference Numbers 11:25.
It says a little different in the New King James.
What does it say?
Pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy.
Oh, yeah. And I saw that for years, but it didn't impact me until what happened to us. I'll read what it says in Numbers, and I don't even know how they associate the two, but it says the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke unto them and took of the Spirit that was upon him and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. That's interesting. The Lord took of the Spirit that was upon him. It's strange because in Ezekiel 37, where the Lord told Ezekiel to prophesy to the dry bones, he said, prophesy to them and told them to hear the word of the Lord. Was that the prophecy? Mm-hmm. Well, there's nothing strange about it. I mean, it's a prophet. Hear the word of the Lord. Except I'm wondering if maybe hearing the word of the Lord is still something that is got to happen to Israel.
You know, I had this question in my mind the other day when we were in the same area. And in 14:5, when he says, I wish you all spoke with tongues. Well, does that mean everybody isn't going to speak with tongues? That's a believer?
I don't know if it answers that.
Yeah.
It leaves it a little up in the air as far as I'm concerned.
But even more that you prophesied. Wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied.
Well, I don't know where it said if the people that speak in tongues are for the non-believers, and that the prophecies speakers are for the believers. I'm trying to remember where I saw that.
It's in this area.
It's in this chapter.
Yeah.
And then Paul just turns around and contradicts himself.
Yeah.
Says, tongues are for believers, not for non-believers. Kind of makes you scratch your head.
Well, it's in 22, probably.
Oh, mine's the New International Version. It says, tongues then are a sign, not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is for believers, not for unbelievers.
Hmm. You think it'd almost be the other way around?
Well, it is here.
Yeah, that makes no sense because two verses down, they'll say that you're out of your mind. I'm going to read from 22. Therefore, times are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all.
If I dig into that a little more, I wonder if it is for when I saw Barb, she has that gift to speak in tongues. And when I saw her doing that, it was at a time where I was not 100% in my faith. So I wonder if what he's saying is they use them for the unbelievers too. And then there are people I have heard in churches that speaking of tongues is of the devil. And I'm like, no, I don't think that's correct. Because I said, I have known some people who put their 100% faith in the Lord that speak a language that I cannot interpret. So I don't know. I'm just thinking, is he saying that tongues is there for the people who need more belief?
Two brothers that are both Christians, and when I got saved, filled with the Spirit, and so forth, I kept writing them letters. I would hear nothing back, but I'd feel the right, write them, and I'd write them a letter. And one of them was Rodney, and he was tending bar down in the tavern down in Racine. And Betty, who was an active part of our church for years, and she was down there with him, and she had a little girl. And because she'd had a child without having a husband, the church kicked her out. And she got really upset, you know, over it. She held it for a long time. And they were in the tavern, and she was drinking, and Rodney was tending bar, and she told him about the story, and he said, I got a crazy brother that keeps writing me letters. And she says, let me see one of them. And when she read it, it had an impact on her. You know, she read the letter, and I don't know what was in it anymore, but so the next thing I knew, Rodney and Betty got married, and then Rodney and Betty and my brother Clayton and his wife, they came all the way out to Seattle, and we are having church services in one of the guys' basement. And I didn't know this, but she said that when she heard me speak in tongues as we were praying, she said it just did something to her whole system, mm-hmm. and she wanted it. Mm-hmm. And I had a profound experience when I received it. It just there was not any denying what happened to me.
And here in 1 Corinthians 14, it talks about to speak in tongues. Unbeliever hears it. Won't they say that you are mad? You know? Well, not in that case.
You know what? There's two tongues here. There's two applications.
Yeah.
One of them is a tongue that requires interpretation. One of them is tongues for your own individual edification. And
yeah,
so
but
we have to make a separation.
That's kind of later, though, but in this first part, it's not really making a reference to anything about interpretation.
Well,
in the earlier part there where we read 22, verse 22.
But I don't remember where it warns that anyone... I notice people who speak in tongues are people who are crazy. And it's prophesied that people will think they're mad and crazy and persecute them. So, and I know there's even churches that persecute that. And I don't remember where, you guys know where it is, where it says even the church will persecute Christians.
Yeah.
So I wonder if, I mean, as much as it boggles our mind, a lot of this stuff all almost answers itself somewhere else. You have to jump around.
When you come together, then he starts breaking down which way to use tongues.
Okay.
Whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or three, or at the most two or one, let there be two or at least the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in church and let him speak to himself and to God.
Yes, you see, it says stuff that we go right by. Let him speak to himself and to God.
Yeah.
He's speaking in tongues to himself.
If there's no interpreter.
Yeah. It took me a while.
But back in 22, you know, it's there. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. Well, then it's not saying anything about interpreting or anything. It's just a sign, you know.
Yeah.
Oops. My phone's on, so.
But then North 23. All speak in strange tongues. There comes in they that are unlearned, or they that believe not. Will they not say that ye are out of your wits? Out of your,
I wonder if it's maybe it's talking about on an individual in the first part. You know, if you're around an unbeliever and it's just you and him, and you show him what tongues is about or something. I don't know.
Well, we have been taught, or so say it's the scriptures, we should pray in tongues because we don't know how to pray in our own mind. Pray in tongues is a prayer between us and God, and God will do that. Yet, if you're praying in tongues and God is leading that, and you do that, and someone else hears that and has an interpretation of what that tongues is, it says, by all means, bring that, because prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues because it edifies everyone,
right?
Not just the Lord. So it's you know, it's kind of an interesting thing. I'm
actually in that first part, though, that may not even be a prayer.
Sure,
you know,
absolutely. You feel to pray, and you know, I often choose to pray in tongues because I don't know how to pray with my mind. Because I don't know that I can pray with my mind and be in the will of God.
What I was getting at is, but you can also speak in tongues.
Oh, okay, sure.
That's what I was.
Okay.
That it's not necessarily maybe going to be a prayer when you start out.
Yes.
But most of the time it says pray in tongues, you know.
Yeah, good point.
Right. No, I do that all the time too. It's like,
and it's a conscious choice because I go, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I I have not gotten any revelation or Spirit hasn't moved on to me that this is God's will, especially when I'm praying for someone for healing. Because I don't know, often I don't know what God's plan is for that. And
well, I felt it from you guys when you do that to me. That's why I'm like, it's still the natural part. It's like, I want that.
Yeah.
Well, there definitely is power.
Yeah.
In prayer, and prayer with people speaking in tongues, especially if you're open to that.
Like Keith said, that woman, she had a revelation. She felt physiologically different, and I'm like, that's what happened to me.
Yeah, that was Betty.
And the best part about that, Josh, is no one can take that away from you.
No, they can't.
No one. I mean, a phrase that we often use is don't argue with the person who's had the experience of the Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, they're going to go, yeah, you may think that, but I can tell you not.
Yeah. Well, I'm already told in here that that's going to happen to me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That people are going to deny it and call me.
I don't have a lot of these, but I had a real understanding a few days ago. And that is the fact that that anybody that has the Spirit, God has given them a spirit language.
You gotta go get the kids. We'll be back.
Are you okay?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm okay.
Okay. Sort of.
I've got a lot more going on within my body than just this part, so just infection in different parts that I'm just tired.
Okay.
But I'm okay.
You've heard them many. I've heard them words many times at home too. I'm okay. Don't tell you nothing. It literally tells you nothing.
Yeah.
Except that you're not okay.
That is 100% correct.
I should have left that off the tape, huh?
Half of the people are going to totally understand, the other half are not going to be so happy with that.
And that's the way we live.
What God is going to do with that.
Yep. Yeah.
But anyway, tongues is a language between a person and God. And which makes it, it separates the person then from just soul to also having a spirit. See, we're body, soul, and spirit. And without the spirit, the body is dead. So God gives us a spirit, and that's what gives us life. And but in the process, the spirit is also the part of us that picks up spiritual things. It requires a spirit. Well, God not only gave us a spirit, but He has also given us a spirit language, and that's the thing that, you know. But of course, it takes faith. It takes a lot of things to get it, but that's why we speak in tongues. And some people, it's a little easier for them just to get the faith substance, you know. But what you do is you get these guys with you, and you pray. And you pray, 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 and you pray. You pray for 99 hours, and what do you get? You get another day older.
Yeah.
Deeper into.
But anyway.
Well, maybe you get the one for it, too.
Yeah. That's the way we used to do it. Then you get old, and you get old, and you get older.
Don't shortchange getting old here, Keith. If you're moving angelic forces in the Ukraine right now,
you know what? I don't know. I don't really know.
You don't know. I don't.
But I
just say, you know, there's no reason.
Yeah, it says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And then in Ephesians it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers and high places. So if we're wrestling, and we're wrestling against spirits, where are they? Are they in Ukraine? Are they in other places? And meanwhile, they're wrestling us right down to the ground, and all we're doing is suffering, you know? But I had a faith thing happen to me with that verse. I don't know that I've ever had it happen before, but I did with that one. It's like Elijah was a man of like passions, like we are, and he prayed for 3.5 years that it wouldn't rain in Israel, and it didn't rain. And then he prayed again, and it rained. And they blamed Elijah for not having rain. Ahab and Jezebel and the ones that were in charge, they said, here he is. This is the guy here that stopped us from having rain. Why could he stop him? What made him think that? But somehow they knew it. And somehow they might, if God gets moved on you in such a way that things like that happen, they might know that it's God, or that you're the cause of the problem. Or one of the causes. It won't be just you.
Well, it might have been the enemy letting him know that it was his fault.
Yeah.
Just keep stirring that pot.
Just a little inspiration for you. I just read the other day of a woman that had her 108th birthday.
Poor lady.
Doesn't have to look 105.
She wasn't complaining.
Well, I think Betty White was still acting when she was over 90, wasn't she?
Oh, yes.
She just passed in 93 or 4.
No, oh, I mean, she was shy of 100.
99.
She was 100, yeah.
She was the one that was playing, there was somebody else.
Yeah. Mr. Pacumas.
Yeah. Somebody else was low 90s.
Oh, Lord, don't let it happen to me.
He still wants you to do some work. He's gonna.
That's right. That's absolutely right, Josh. I don't think he got too old. Oh, I'm sorry. My prayers don't work anymore because I'm so old.
Nope.
I don't know that it works that way.
Well, after a while, about the only thing you got to work is prayer.
Yeah, well.
I can 100% guarantee you she's still here because there's someone who needs to meet her or get some inspiration from her or something.
Yeah, all right, sir.
I just remembered something. I talked to my wife about it. She said, she's been, you know, I pray and I say, hey, Lord, why am I still here? You know, why am I still here? Well, yesterday, the Lord showed me why I'm still here.
Yeah.
You know?
He did.
When I had to deal with Don.
Yeah.
He showed me why you're still here. You know? So I got an answer. Not an answer in my head, but a physical, you know, but it put me in that situation to show me the answer, you know, as to why we're still here.
Exactly.
But don't sell yourself short. You're here for a reason.
Yep.
We just don't know what it is yet, you know? And I'm glad I was there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
And when I woke up yesterday, I was feeling very sloppy. And I saw Glenn out doing something. So I was like, no, stop being lazy. Go help Glenn. And that's why he's still here, too.
Mm-hmm.
We're here for a reason. And we just don't always know.
Well, Sometimes he don't tell you. He takes you by the hand and shows you.
Sometimes he makes you do hard things that you don't want to do.
A lot of times we don't recognize it, though, you know?
That's right.
You know?
I'd say most times.
But when you do recognize it, it is something else.
Fills you with contentment.
So you're here for a reason, Keith. Even though we don't know why. But
my hope is that it gets over with pretty quick.
It's kind of like putting a curse on yourself.
Well, from what I've read in this book, I'm guaranteed a lot more adversity to come, so.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm like, just let me do your work when it comes. When I have to face it, I want to do it in your name, not mine. Because mine is not of you at all.
Yep. You know, when things get very dark, that's when light really is needed.
And it don't take much of a light to be bright.
That's right. Yep. Flashlight does nothing in the daytime. Nighttime, boy, it really lights stuff up.
I've been on both sides of the thoughts looking at, you know, today and the young people and the indoctrination that's been going on for so long that we weren't aware of in college and high school and then down, and now it's going even lower. And
first grade.
And you go, oh my, and then I sit here, and when it got brought up today, I thought, but that's when God can do his greatest work, because it looks impossible.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of people. Well, myself, I would say it looked like it'd be impossible for him to save me. You know, and there's all kinds of people that think that, but they don't realize what's coming. He can do it. He can touch and do whatever he wants with whoever he wants, no matter where they're at, and how bad they've been. Brainwashed or whatever, you know. So that's what we gotta kind of concentrate. That's what I need to keep concentrating on, is knowing that he can change that whole situation with whoever. Some of the hardest people to reach actually are older people.
Setting their ways,
you know. Especially they've just been going to that church every Sunday, and I've been good all my life, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's not good enough.
Yeah,
I don't understand why there's that mentality.
And then you could have the young person that's blown out on drugs and everything else. Well, they're both in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
They're not saved yet, but they can be. You know,
I tell that to the kids about their mother. I said she can be salvaged. Mm. She can be saved.
Yeah. Mm.
But you're gonna want to be.
Yeah.
You know, not saying the Lord can't save.
Although, you know,
this is it.
Well, when he first touches you, you may not even know you want to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, hardly touches you.
Huh? I would have. I hardly touches you. I didn't want to get saved.
That's right.
I didn't want to. I really did not want to. I mean, all that foolishness. You know.
That's for old people. Right? You know what you thought?
I know what you're saying. I'm like, you expect this from me, but expect me not to expect it from others. Okay, sign me up, I guess.
Yeah, then those, you know, things happened and whatever. But it would have been pretty close to the last thing in the world that I would love to have.
On your list of wants, it wasn't very high.
Oh, sure wasn't.
Yeah.
Me too.
And the trouble is, sometimes you don't know. It probably was pretty high on your list of needs. You just didn't know it.
Oh, I sure didn't.
Right?
Yeah. No, I was not seeking. Not. I mean, my conscious mind certainly wasn't seeking. I don't know. I suppose my spirit was. Didn't know there was such a thing.
And that was a good thing to hear, Keith, that you told me, because you know what I've been dwelling on a lot lately? I'm 37, so I don't have much time left. Literally. That has been my mentality. It was a revelation, because Jill's so happy, and she's like, you're finally focusing on us instead of work and, what did I say, false idols, money. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, that's where my focus needs to be.
Because living proof, you don't have much time, John.
And then, no, but then I was like, what am I talking about? I don't even know how much time I have left, so why am I making decisions?
That is so true.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, Don probably thought he had a lot more time 2 days ago than he does today. Right?
Yeah.
You can, as people say, even not the overly spiritual ones, you know, life is a gift.
Yeah.
Which can be revoked at any time the gift giver gets it.
Yeah.
You know? Like, no promises, you don't have a guarantee. No guarantees.
None.
Yeah.
And so, which if you think about that, ought to motivate you and how fast you change your behaviors once you know your behaviors are wrong. Yeah, I'll get to that. Not quite ready to take that one on, but I'll get to that. And then you go, well, how long have you got before you get to that? Well, I'm not really sure. Well, then maybe you ought to get to it sooner. You know, you let God think there a little bit. You go, yeah, I probably shouldn't be putting things off all the time.
All the time. And then, I love it, the path is wide, but the gate is narrow.
Yeah.
I always thought it was the path is straight, but the gate is narrow.
That's it, yeah. But
well, there is a wide way
and
then a narrow way. And talking about
the gate is straight, but the gate is narrow.
There's a couple different ways it gets said, I think.
Yeah, right. But yeah, there is, the idea of a gate is most definitely...
Yeah, I suppose. Super wide highway, but tiny little gate. So,
I guess I just interpreted it as if the gate is narrow, the path must be pretty wide then.
Any more?
I told these guys. Were you not in church Sunday?
No, Joe was really sick. And
okay.
He knew this. He just didn't remember.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, I knew you weren't. I told him how blessed I was by that testimony, just by what you had said, because it made me realize that we're kind of all in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can kind of change it a little bit, but the thing that God wants from us is humility and brokenness, contriteness. That's what He wants, and we can see it in us. It gives us a launching pad. That's not really the right word, but it is, I guess. But there was this is just a parable that Jesus gave about this. This man that came and he says, and he prayed, and he said, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men. And I give my tithes to the church. I do all of these things. And the publican, I think, came and fell on his face, and he says, and he couldn't even look up toward heaven. And he says, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus says, and that man goes down justified rather than the other one.
Yep.
And you know what it is? That's an attitude of the heart. That's who and what we are. And that's what I saw in it was Tuesday. God is looking for brokenness, humility, just truth. He's looking for us to be... in the right place before Him.
Yeah, honest before Him.
And that's kind of what's happening to us. It's happening to all of us. It's happening to this old codger.
Hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Just be sure that
that's why you're still here.
Love you all.